in all of our conversations, there's been this word that's been thrown around here and there, and I'm sure you guys are wondering what it means. That word is senolytics.
What is a senescent cell?
A senescent cell is essentially a cell that stopped dividing by a variety of reasons. This concept was actually coined in the 1960s. Cells have like in them some kind of a trigger that stops cell division. The problem is that senescent cells don't just sit there. They release a bunch of proteins, including growth factors and pro-inflammatory cytokines. That it means that they attract and trigger cells of the immune system. And they have deleterious effects. It turns out that some of these senescent cells, some of these proteins produced by these cells may actually help tissue repair. But the majority, or that's the current conception, the majority of these effects are bad for the body. They show that by removing genetically senescent cells in mice, they have a great effect in just the overall frailty and like health of the mice. The fur looked better, the tissues look better. This is like removing with 100% selectivity and 100% efficacy. Senescent cells have an upregulation of anti-apoptotic mechanisms. They are resistant to normal inducers of apoptosis. So the premise was like, if we inhibit the auto-apoptosis mechanisms, senescent cells rely on these mechanisms, senescent cells will preferentially die. The problem is that normal cells also have anti-apoptotic mechanisms. Even if they are less dependent on them, it might affect normal cells. And it's the same principle with cancer therapy. As a matter of fact, some of the first senolytics were actually also drugs used to treat cancers. And what do you guys think was the first disease that was targeted in senescent cells?
Cancer?
No, I think that's too far ahead. Maybe they started with something small like cholesterol buildup.
No, it's with pulmonary fibrosis.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to part 3 of our mini series on longevity. So far, we've spoken to Fiona Miller. We've spoken to Jose Navarro Betancourt. We've spoken to Aubrey de Grey. In all of our conversations, there's been this word that's been thrown around here and there. And I'm sure you guys are wondering what it means. That word is senolytics. It's a trending topic in longevity today because there's a lot of research going behind it. We have Jose Navarro Betancourt back here with us on the show. Talk about what senolytics is.
Jose, nice to have you back on the show. So to get started, what is senolytics? Even going more granular, what is a senescent cell?
Yeah, let's begin with a senescent cell. A senescent cell is essentially a cell that stopped dividing by a variety of reasons. This concept was actually coined in the 1960s by Dr. Hayflick. So this guy was playing with cells in culture and saying, hey, what is the maximum amount of times a cell can divide? And then he hypothesized that cells have like in them some kind of a trigger that stops cell division. And once these cells stop dividing, we age. So he was actually studying a type of senescent that we now know as replicative senescent. Perhaps the three main types of senescent cells are replicative senescent, DNA damage induced senescence. There are cells that receive damage in the DNA. There's a third type called oncogene induced senescence. When a gene that causes cancer is active, the cell freaks out literally and says, hey, we should stop division. There's something wrong. Senescent cells, it means that there's something wrong with them. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that senescent cells don't just sit there. They release a bunch of proteins, including growth factors and pro-inflammatory cytokines. That it means that they attract and trigger cells of the immune system. And they have deleterious effects in the tissue where they live and in the organism as a whole. Because these things they secrete, they spread throughout the body in circulation. So since these cells were metabolically active, professor now at the Buck Institute, one of the leading institutes in research on aging, professor name was Judith Campisi. She coined this term, senescence-associated secretory phenotype, SASP. So there was research in trying to remove these senescent cells. A funny thing, without getting into the weeds, is that it turns out that some of these senescent cells, some of these proteins produced by these cells may actually help tissue repair. But the majority, or that's the current conception, the majority of these effects are bad for the body. So So there was a lot of research in trying to remove senescent cells. And the group that finally nailed, that proved that removing senescent cells was beneficial, was a group at the Mayo Clinic. And it seems that these guys are, at least as an institution, they have produced a significant amount of research in senolytics. This group was led by Professor James Kirkland and Jan van Duursen. So the first paper showing that clearing senescent cells is good was published in 2011, a while back. And in this paper, Jim Kirkland and Jan van Duursen and others at the Mayo Clinic, they show that by removing genetically senescent cells in mice, they had a great effect in just the overall frailty and health of the mice. The fur looked better, the tissues looked better under the microscope. And that was a really good proof of concept that clearing these senescent cells is beneficial.
You say by removing senescent cells genetically.
That's it.
Right?
They engineered mice with essentially a kill switch embedded in the gene that allowed them to remove specifically cells that had a gene. Now, this is like removing with 100% selectivity and 100% efficacy. So obviously, you cannot do this in humans because we cannot edit ourselves genetically yet. So obviously, the next step was to look for how to remove senescent cells with drugs or with antibodies or small molecules. So it turns out that senescent cells are resistant to a cellular process called apoptosis. In three sentences, apoptosis is programmed cell death, the way that cells normally used to have a clean death approach. Senescent cells have an upregulation of anti-apoptotic mechanisms. They are resistant to normal inducers of apoptosis. So the premise was if we inhibit the auto-apoptosis mechanisms, senescent cells rely on these mechanisms, senescent cells will preferentially die. The problem is that normal cells also have anti-apoptotic mechanisms. Even if they are less dependent on them, it might affect normal cells. And it's the same principle with cancer therapy. You try to hit cancer cells that are more reliant on these mechanisms, but you also end up hitting the body. As a matter of fact, some of the first senolytics were actually also drugs used to treat cancer, specifically dasatinib. So in this paper led by Dr. Kirkland, they discovered a bunch of drugs that preferentially kill senescent cells. The main ones were dasatinib and then quercetin. And this really opened the door to a lot of natural products related to quercetin. These drugs are useful to treat some age-related conditions. Obviously, the next step was test this in human diseases. And what do you guys think was the first disease that was targeted in senescent cells?
Cancer?
No, I think that's too far ahead. Maybe they started with something small like cholesterol buildup.
No, it's with pulmonary fibrosis. Some patients with pulmonary fibrosis have what is called a telomere biology disorder. Mm. Patients have failure in keeping the caps of telomeres. And it is believed that in replicative senescence, what activates the senescence, the inflection point to activate the senescence, is that telomeres reach a really critical cell length, a really critical length. Every time the cell divides, the telomere shortens until the telomere gets too short that the cell cannot divide anymore. That makes sense in many cells that divide. However, what happens with cells that do not divide, like neurons? So they chose pulmonary fibrosis and they had promising results. The first study was published in 2019. This has not been reproduced. I mean, it suggests that there's something there. They actually use this is the paper, and they actually use dasatinib and quercetin. The results are promising and all, but then this leads to the question, what's the dose of these drugs? How often should you do it? How often should you treat? I mean, the premise is that senescent cells take a long time to accumulate, right? They basically take your whole life.
Is the accumulation of senescent cells even recognized as a disease today?
It is recognized as a hallmark of aging. It is not recognized as a disease. Here's why. It is very hard to identify senescent cells.
So before we dive deep into it, for the benefit of our audience, basically a senescent cell is a buildup of dead cells or cells that are related to aging. You have senolytics drugs that have the process of apoptosis, which targeted towards eliminating senescent cells. They are usually not good for you. They usually build up over age, and the available therapies around it are trained to selectively pick senescent cells, but inadvertently you will end up damaging normal cells as well because you cannot be as selective as you want to be. The first medicine trial that they did around it was with pulmonary fibrosis in and treating that?
Yeah, that was an accurate summary. Senescent cells in mice, removal of senescent cells in mice has shown a lot of benefits in basically multiple age-related diseases. In humans, the benefits are less clear. The clinical trials have been small, but the results are promising. So that leads me to two things. How do we prove that these treatments are actually removing senescent cells? We talked about it in the previous episode. If you cannot measure something directly, you have to measure it by surrogate markers, and you have to try to build the whole picture based on this indirect marker. Senescent cells, the definition of a senescent cell, as I said at the beginning, is it's a cell that stopped dividing. So how do you measure that in the body? You essentially can measure it by two things. You can measure it by the expression of what we call, of a family of genes called cell cycle arrest genes. That means this, that the cell stop dividing. You can measure it by DNA damage. There's ways to stain specific spots of DNA damage in the DNA, or spots where the DNA is being repaired. You can measure some specific enzymes that senescent cells have and other cells have less. The most used enzyme in this regard is senescence-associated beta-galactosidase. And then you can measure the effects of senescent cells. And people generally look at two things: fibrosis, tissue scarring, or the position of extracellular matrix. Basically, fibrosis is bad tissue scarring. So there's that. And then there's also inflammation. You can measure some inflammatory cytokines or proteins circulating in the blood. So that's the way people...
I think another important way to measure whether it's really working or not is figure out how long you want to be active during the day.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the main thing to test whether a treatment works is how the patient feels, whether you cured the disease, or as you said, whether you have some sort of improvement in the way you feel or your energy.
Right.
But that's very subjective and it gets messy. But people are taking these things because, as I said, some of these are a natural product. The first two that
come to mind. So it's not approved by the FDA?
No. People are using it as a biohacking way, specifically fisetin. Quercetin. Those are the two main natural products that may work as senolytics. But that's the thing. A lot of products work in mice and they work in cells, in cell cultures. But translating that into what happens in humans is not straightforward. The dose is not well defined. So you can look into what the clinical trials have used and try to copy that. But there's no reference. There's no like guarantee. There's also no guarantee on how often should you do it. Most of these treatments in clinical trials are done in what they call a hit and run strategy. So this means that you give a high dose of the senolytic once a month or twice a month. You clear the senescent cells and then you let the body go and continue with its functions. And then in the next month, you do another treatment. Some senolytics, supposedly they work for 6 months. So, but we don't know. That's the problem. And if people are experimenting, they really need to be fully conscious about what they can do to their bodies.
Have the side effects of the medicine been researched? And you just mentioned, right, people need to be conscious about what they put into their body. I think one of the ways that they can do their research is, like you said, by these biomarkers where you measure how the drug is affecting your bodies. But also, like, another way is to, I mean, every body is different for that matter. So another way is to figure out how it affects everyone and to pass on those stories so you can have it. When there is a new drug development, there's always side effects that are published. So is there anything that's been published for these medicines that are out there?
Here's the thing. These supplements are generally considered safe, but we don't know the effects of long-term treatment. But even in the hit and run approach, I mean, in theory, when you do hit and run, you minimize the side effects. So right. Once a month, and then you let the body, the substance clear from the body. So that kind of supports that it's safe, but we don't know. There's no way to know. At this point, you really need to test it in a very large amount of patients, correct for the confounding factors, correct for the diet, correct for the age. You really need to look at very specific features of the population.
You talk about all these therapies and we can have a deep dive on this, but, and I've seen this with cancer a whole lot, right? Like, people say, oh, I'm out of cancer, but then 6 months later or a year later, the cancer relapses because you have an uncontrolled division of cells and it's an insane amount of replication, opposite to what senescent is doing, where it stops replicating. Cancer is having an enormous replication of white blood cells in your body. The question I have is, once you wipe out senescent cells with the approach that you mentioned, either with natural supplements or derivative supplements, what is the probability that you will not develop senescent cells in the future after the treatment versus they occurring back again as a result of some overlying gene condition that causes senescent cells?
I don't think there's a way to stop senescent cells from being generated, right? I mean, you can clear them out, but they're still going to accumulate over time after.
Correct, Nandini. That's the general interpretation today. Even when you clear them, these cells will continue to accumulate. And that's why you have to do it periodically. But let's talk about two things. Let's finish up with an interesting company that... Let me tell you about two cool companies. And then let me tell you about probable good things about senescent cells. People that have been following senolytics may be familiar with a company called Unity Biotechnology. So Unity Biotechnology were one of the first senolytics companies. They were actually co-founded by Judith Campisi, the person who discovered SASP or who coined the senescence-associated secretory phenotype, by Jan van Deursen, who was one of the first scientists who proved that senolytics are good. They have a very interesting story. Their first idea was to treat diseases locally, or diseases associated with local inflammation, under the hypothesis that removing senescent cells removes inflammation or treats inflammation. So they developed a senolytic that inhibits an anti-apoptotic protein. So a senolytic that promotes apoptosis, completely new molecule, mostly very selective. They used it in osteoarthritis. They got funding apparently even from Jeff Bezos, who invested in Unity back in the day. Gained a lot of traction. They have this trial and it fails. So that was a really bad hit for them and for the whole industry in general. Now, then they pivoted to another local organ, which is the eye, or a very localized region. So they're treating different types of damage to the retina. So then they treated a disease, wet age-related macular degeneration. In this approach, they were injecting the senolytic once every 6 months. This is a really long period of time, supposedly, because senescent cells take a while to accumulate. And it fails to meet the efficacy guidelines. Because remember, clinical trials of any new treatment must be compared to the standard of care. So it fails to be superior to the standard of care. But recently, they had a success in treating another type of retina damage called age-related diabetic macular edema, which affects a lot of patients with a significant amount of patients with diabetes have age-related macular edema. So this Unity was recently successful in treating this. We will see what happens. If you want to read further, this successful trial was it's called the Behold trial. Where is the future going? So it has become clear that some senescent cells are actually good for the tissue. In three things, they help tissue repair, they help in wound healing, they may help in tissue remodeling, and they are involved in preventing cancer. Some cells, they say, I'd rather become senescent than become a cancer. Senescence is maybe physiologic in some circumstances. When, who knows? It probably depends either on the tissue type, on where in the body all cells are different, under the type of injury that they're facing, perhaps like a bone fracture, or like it's different than something chronic that it's like a consistent type of damage. So people are saying, hey, how do we distinguish good senescent cells from bad senescent cells? Because even distinguishing senescent cells alone, it's really hard. So how do you even go further?
To Karthik's question, right? Karthik asked, is there a way to prevent senescent cells from even generating in the first place, right? You may not want to do that because there are good senescent cells as well.
That's it. We don't know exactly
when senescent cell becomes something that you don't want your body.
There is let me tell you about two cool things. There is an effort sponsored by the NIH, mm-hmm. which is to create a map of senescent cells in the human body. And this would give us information on where and when to treat senescence. And then a cool approach to remove senescent cells is to use the immune system. Why is that? Because there's evidence supporting that the immune system naturally has a mechanism to identify and attack and clear senescent cells that contribute to disease. The good senescent cells. So, and people suggest that that's exactly why senescent cells accumulate throughout your life, but only become problematic in older ages, because the immune system also becomes functional gets compromised also with age. That's one of the mechanisms to explain that. What are biotech companies doing? They are saying, hey, how can we use the immune system to treat, to attack senescent cells? The whole CAR T cell therapy aspect, people have suggested that CAR T cells, as they are trained to attack cancer cells, they can be trained to recognize a specific subset of senescent cells. There's another approach that is to help cells inside the body to recognize senescent cells. This is not a plug, but one of the Quadroscope portfolio companies called Decidus Therapeutics has this approach. One of the founders discovered a specific type of cells from the immune system that recognizes and attacks senescent cells, and this company is developing treatments to teach these types of subsets of cells of the immune system called the invariant natural killer cells to attack senescent cells. So it's basically a booster of the natural killer activity of these cells, invariant natural killer cells. And in theory, this approach would only remove senescent cells that contribute to tissue damage, respect cells that contribute to tissue homeostasis or repair. This is a preclinical company. They're going to hopefully eventually test these treatments for pulmonary fibrosis and for metabolic disease, for type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. That's where research is headed.
I think it was like a masterclass on senolytics and what it really means. And people may not think that it means a lot, or even for me, for that matter, I never even knew that senolytics or senolescent cells existed before having this conversation or before being introduced to it by Fiona.
What I think I always struggled with in the research lab was what it could mean one day for people, right? So you're doing work in a lab at a bench, and you're just not sure what it's going to go to one day. I ended up starting an Alzheimer's diagnostic imaging company called Alzeca Bio, and the platform was around developing novel imaging contrast agents that could go and tag different proteins associated with dementia. So first we looked at amyloid, eventually started looking at tau and alpha-synuclein, so you got kind of this platform where you could look at not just Alzheimer's, but Huntington's, Parkinson's, MS, etc. through the platform. It's in the clinic now, and to date has had some pretty interesting results that look quite promising. The issue is that as you age and as disease accumulates, these senescent cells are harder to remove. And what that really means is that the immune system function that should be getting rid of these senescent cells gets compromised. And what excited me about Decidus, despite it being very, very early in the idea phase when we started the company, was that the PI I worked with, Anil Bhushan at UCSF, had footprints or clues as to how the immune system naturally could regulate senescent cells.
When you talk about getting initial data, so when you see data and you're like, oh, I see promise, what percentage of the time does data actually translate into reality versus you're like, oh, maybe we are on the right path, but proof, because the famous saying for us data folks is, oh, the proof lies in the pudding, right? What is the process in a super nascent research space as yours in this case?
Yeah, I fully agree. It is challenging. Data will tell you clues as to what could be happening, but actually proving it in a living system is a completely different thing. If we figured out the immune system, we figured out how they clear senescent cells, none of that matters unless it actually resolves disease.
How has imaging evolved over the years, and what role do you see AI playing in imaging?
When you look at an image, so for example, we had data sets where you look at an image and say, in this brain, there is clear proof of a protein associated with Alzheimer's. In this image, there is not. So we think because of that, this image with the amyloid positive protein accumulating, that we think this one is Alzheimer's, we think this one is not, right? That's the kind of bifurcation. Now, within that, it's also been shown that being amyloid positive or even tau positive at times in Alzheimer's brains doesn't always lead to cognitive impairment. I think AI in this case, or data science or machine learning, they allow you to see things that you can't see on your own.